A joy to be with you all this morning. I'm so grateful to God for this opportunity that I could come and worship with you all today in this beautiful church. And I want to thank Pastor Ibi for having me here. As he mentioned that we've known each other for a long time, and I've seen him and his wife working so sacrificially among people in India, especially among youth. And they have a great long journey of walking with God, of being used by God. Thank you so much. So I'm so honored to be in a church where God is using him to shepherd his people. So thank you so much. And as he mentioned, that I'm most of my time is used for the glory of God, of course, in discipling children in our country back home. So I don't like to be very formal. In that sense, I don't like places like that to preach. You know, not that I hate, but I want to be free so that I can move around with people. So that's what I am. I am a children's minister. So you can't be a children's minister if you want to be stiff, okay? There's nobody who can be an effective minister to children if they are not willing to let go of themselves. So, of course, I will get back to that place. But pastor's asked me to do a song. And he's asked me to do my sermon in two parts. Okay, the first, I want to switch my gear towards children first. And then do something to engage them. I hope they would like my singing this morning. How many children do I see here in the presence of God? Of course, God has no grandchildren or no fathers. So all of us are children of God, right? So if you feel that you are a child of God, you can put up your hand. If you feel like you're a child at heart, put up your hand, okay? I have a song that I taught wonderful Sunday school teachers yesterday. You have a lovely, passionate, burdened, young Sunday school teachers who are so, burdened for the kids in your family. So you must be thankful to God for them because, I don't know about the United States, but many countries that I've gone to, I've seen how children's ministry is not something that is really, respected by a lot of people in the world, because we think children's ministry is something to start with initially and then we get graduated to newer levels and we forget about children. But in the Bible, we can see how the heart of God is really longing from page to page, from book to book. You will see how God's heart is longing to see young children being discipled and raised for the glory of God. Because if we don't reach them today, we might lose them forever. In many churches, especially in Europe, if you go, you will see big cathedrals, but if you go to the services, you will see just old people. They have lost a few generations because church didn't have much to offer to young children. Church had become very irrelevant to them for many generations. That's why we miss them. And the Bible says that the enemy has, in the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 12, the Bible says the devil has come down with great anger, knowing that he has a very short time left. So I think he's actively working among children. When we believe, when we think they are not ready for God's word and to experience those so-called, goosebumps giving, spiritual stuff, and we push them to the last row and we think we are so very spiritual. You know what happens? The enemy does not waste any time. He is reaching out to them. He is discipling them through the media, through all kinds of ways that the world has to offer to them. So we have to rise up. The church has a great challenge. We can never be dismissive of, those who work among children or our children. Okay, so this morning I want you to really, maybe by the end of the service, if you go to your Sunday school teacher, just, shake hands with them and tell them we are so thankful to you for the work that you do. Right? You must really pray for them because they come prayed up. They come really asking God for a fresh word for your children. In fact, what they teach your children on Sunday school, in Sunday schools, you must be able to, continue on through the week. You must find ways how you can, continue to relate with them and disciple them on the lines of the same truth that which they receive in the Sunday school. Okay, so maybe that's something for you to just pick up right at the beginning. Okay, here is a song that I have for you. This song, I did that yesterday. This song has a lot of words from Swahili. Okay, Swahili is a language spoken in Africa. Okay, in countries like Kenya, they have this language called Swahili. I don't know if you've been to Swahili, Kenya, some of you might have been to Kenya, but I was there a couple of years ago, and they were so happy to see an Indian singing a song in English, which has lots of Swahili words, and they didn't know the song. That was the fun of it. Okay, this song goes like this. It says, I don't know, you're probably familiar with this phrase, Hakuna Matata. Boys, are you familiar with that phrase, Hakuna Matata? Where did you hear that? Enema? Lion King, right? What do you mean by Hakuna Matata? You know, there are some songs the worldly people are singing, but we must be singing because, you know, it is in the presence of God we have the joy of the Lord. What the world has to offer is not permanent, right? But they think they have the means to keep people happy. Hakuna Matata means be happy, don't worry, be happy, okay? But I believe it's only we who have the right to tell people, because we have the words of, you know, peace and reconciliation to offer to the world. I mean, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, because the world's peace will never last forever. But what God has given us is everlasting. So I believe this Hakuna Matata is something that we get to own. Amen. Can you say amen to me? Amen. Good. See, I'm a children's minister. I need a lot of responses. I can't sleep. I can't preach to, you know, people who sit still. Okay, so you better be prepared to respond to me this morning. Otherwise, I'll go back and sit down. Okay. This song says Hakuna Matata, but it starts with words like Jambo, which means hello or hi. Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. And then there's another word, Karibu, which means welcome into the presence of God. Why do you worry? Because God is with you. He is with you. Hakuna Matata. Okay? If there's anybody who's come to the house of God with some kind of burden this morning, maybe you must sing to yourself, my soul, why do you worry? Don't worry, because God is there for you. Okay? I will sing it for you. Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Do you like the song? Especially the boys and girls, are you here this morning? Can you see the hands of those children, real children? Okay. Do you want to join me? Okay, Jambo, Jesus loves you. Then, Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? You know, he is with you. Hakuna Matata. Okay? Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Oh, 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 oh. சில பேர் கை தட்டலாமா வேணாமான்னு பாக்குறாங்க. அப்படியே கொஞ்சம் சைலன்சர் போட்டு கை தட்டிட்டு இருக்கீங்க. எல்லாம் தட்டலாம்னு நினைக்கிறேன். ஆமே. இன்னொரு காரியம், ஆஸ் கிறிஸ்டியன்ஸ் வி ஆர் வெரி குட் அட் யூனோ சம்திங், வி கேன் நெவர் கிளாப் விதவுட் ஸ்மைலிங், பட் வி ஆர் வெரி குட் அட் கிளாப்பிங் விதவுட் ஸ்மைலிங். ஒன்லி த கிறிஸ்டியன்ஸ் கேன் கிளாப் விதவுட் ஈவன் ஸ்மைலிங், பிகாஸ் வி ஆர் சோ யூஸ் டு கிளாப்பிங் இன் த சர்ச் விதவுட் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் வை டு வி கிளாப். வை டு வி கிளாப்? இட்ஸ் அ ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் celebration, rejoicing, right? So you can't really clap your hands without having a smile on your face, okay? So let's all put our hands together, because at the end of this song there's a certain way we will all clap together, okay? There's a way the song would end. I will teach you that in a bit, but let's do the song one more time. Jambo, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Jambu, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Oh, 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 oh. You know how to end the song? Oh, can you do that? 1, 2, 3. There's another rule. When you want to do a children's song, you can't do that sitting down, okay? You must stand up to your feet. Will you do that? Okay? I told you, you need to be free when you want to be a child. If you don't believe in being a child of God, you can sit down, no problem. If you feel like you're young before the Lord, let's do it, okay? One last time. Jambu, Jesus loves you. He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Jambu, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Oh, 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 oh. Very good. Oh, 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 oh. Okay, one more time, okay? This time you will turn to your neighbor. It could be your spouse or somebody in your family or somebody you feel like you must go up to and tell them that Jesus loves you, brother. Don't be worried. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. God is there for you. Can we do that? Oh, that's good. Very good. Okay. Do you want to do that? Turn to your neighbor and look into your face and sing. Jambu, hi. Jesus loves you. Jambu, Jesus loves you. Are you happy? He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Why do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Jambu, Jesus loves you. He is with you. Karibu, into his presence. Do you worry? Hakuna Matata. Oh, 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 oh. Very good. Oh, oh, oh. Good. Give yourself a hand. That was an excellent singing. Good. Okay. Thank you. This is a better place to preach from. Okay. Shall we all just close our eyes and look to God this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Gracious Lord, we want to thank you for giving us the privilege of, Lord, being able to call you Abba Father. We thank you, Lord, for this relationship that we have with you, Lord. That we did not choose you, but you chose us. Even before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, Father, you saw us, a substance being yet unformed. And we thank you as we read this morning, as we heard the pastor reflect on that one scripture, Lord, how we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that our soul knows it very well. Father, we know all that you do is truly marvelous, Lord. And you've done us, you created us, Father, fearfully and wonderfully, God. We are so grateful to you to be alive in a time like this. We are so grateful to you that we belong to the house of God. We are so grateful to you that we have our names written in the book of life. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome privilege of being able to call you Abba Father. We thank you. We don't want to take it for granted this morning, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for what you've been doing over the years in this church and through this church, and what you have in store for them in the for the coming years, Lord. Father, even as we continue to look into your word this morning, pray that you would speak to us. We know you're a God who speaks to us. You're a God who guides us, Lord, by your good spirit. And so we, Lord, as we sit and listen to your word, including me, Father, we pray that you would circumcise our ears. You would open up our eyes of understanding, that we might see the wondrous things in your word, that we might be able to hear the still small voice of God for our situation, Lord. Whatever places we are in, spiritually, physically, emotionally, you know us through and through, Lord. And we know your word has the answer. In your presence, we have the answer for all of our life situations, Lord. And so we come to you. Father, even as I share your word, hide me behind the cross. Lord, I may not speak anything out of my own thoughts or of my own opinion. We know it's all about you. It's all about your word. And we want to hear you speak to all of us, Lord. We are here to listen to you. Speak, Lord. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want us to briefly look at the chapter in Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus has spoken a lot of things about the importance of children, you know. And the chapter starts off with Jesus addressing an argument that disciples had, which we as adults many times have. We want to know who is the best, who is the greatest, right? Wherever we are, without our knowledge, there's a psychological, you know, wrestling going on the inside. Am I the one? Am I special? You know, am I being looked up to? Is there a place for me? What is in it for me? We all tend to have that. And that's how even the disciples, imagine walking with the Son of God, who is God himself walking in human flesh, but they, you know, were hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, but still they were very much like us. And they had this question of knowing who was the greatest. And how did Jesus answer that? Beautifully, he did a powerful lesson by calling a little child. I want to have a little child. Is there a little child who would volunteer this morning? You want to come up, Thambi? What's your name? Yeah. Okay. Jerry, I want you to go and stand right up in the middle. Can you do that? Okay, right there. Good, good. Stop right there. Okay. Jesus took a little child and made the child stand right in the midst of them. I want you to note that word, midst of them. In other words, Jesus was getting ready to teach something very powerful. He was holding up a child's faith for all of us to learn from, to look up to. And what is it that Jesus taught them? Verse number 3. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like a little child, become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The first part of the verse talks about unless we are converted. How many of us feel that we are converted? We are born again. Okay? I'm sorry if I'm asking you questions that you're not comfortably, you know, used to being or answering. Okay? But we all feel like we have a relationship, right? We've been born again and we are converted. Praise God. But that's not everything. In order for us to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, you know, kingdom of God, we just think about only the kingdom of heaven, right? Kingdom of heaven is right here, right? It's among us. I'm sure pastor has been doing a series of study on kingdom of God. Jesus said kingdom of God does not come with observation, but it is within you. We are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here, okay? We represent the kingdom of God and we are part of God's kingdom. And God is saying, you know, leave alone entering heaven. That's the final thing. Okay, we will all go. Praise God. We have that assurance. But he's talking about entering into anything that the kingdom of God has to offer to us. Anything that we can do with God's kingdom has to do with not just the conversion, but our willingness to become like who? As little children. Can we all look at Jerry this morning? He's our example, okay? For what? First of all, for humility. Because children are, you know, very receptive, very friendly, right? And ready to receive, ready to accept, very ready to believe things. And God says, he's not asking us to become childish, but he's saying we should become like Jerry, like little children, to be able to receive his kingdom into our lives. And to be able to function as agents of God's kingdom, this is what it's going to take for all of us. To become like a child. In other words, conversion takes place as one time standoff, standalone experience. But then becoming like a child is what true Christian maturity, amen, is all about, right? If you want to grow in God, the Bible calls us to become like who? Like a little child this morning. And not only that, verse number 4 says, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How do you like that? You know, there's no other way. There are no two ways about becoming great in the kingdom of God. There's just one way that Jesus has taught all of us to become like a little child. In our attitude, in our words, in the way we present ourselves before people, in everything, you know. On the outside, all of us, we know we have a very holy, you know, spiritual appearance. But on the inside, many times, all our, you know, spirituality is just a short of an opportunity or a circumstance. When things go against our wish, the worst of us will come out of us, right? Till then, everything about us is the best. We are on our best behavior. But something happens, something is removed from our lives, something is taken up from us that we are so used to being with for many years. How do we respond? Do we respond with humility? Do we say, yes, my God is in control of what he is doing? I don't have to fight for my right. Because I know the more I humble myself, the greater I will become. Amen. That's what the Bible says. The only way to become great in the kingdom of heaven is to become like a little child. Verse number 5. I will make you sit down, okay? Just one more verse. Thank you. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name, Jesus says, receives who? Receives me. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? Receiving a boy or a girl, it doesn't say Christian child, any child, okay, right? Any little child, if you receive that person in the name of the Lord, who are we receiving? Receiving God himself. In other words, that's one side. On the other side, we can be cutting off God's blessings from the body of Christ if we don't properly or fully recognize the body of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the Bible talks about every joint supplying. Have you ever read that scripture? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16, I guess. Where the Bible says, every joint supplies for the growth of the body. If my body needs to grow, every joint needs to do its part. And as Jerry might be a small member of the body of Christ, but he is not the church of tomorrow. He is the church of today. How many of you believe that? That's the biggest lie of the devil that has kept as parents, as leaders of the church, from giving to them what is rightfully theirs. The Bible says in the book of Lamentation chapter 4, children are crying for bread. They are hungry for bread. And their tongue is dry, sticking to the roof of the mouth. They are so thirsty. And God is lamenting through his prophet. Through the prophetic voice of his, you know, agent, Jeremiah is saying, there is no one to break the bread for them. You know, which means they have a place on the inside of them which is longing to be fed by the truth of God's word. Amen. So how diligent are we this morning to feed them, to break the bread and to feed them? They may not be ready for those big things that we are so used to hearing, but they do have a place on the inside where they long to be fed by the word of God. How diligent are we as parents, as teachers, as leaders of the church? We have a challenge to take them seriously and give them the bread, the word of God. And not only that, he's saying their tongue is what? Dry. Sticking to the roof of the mouth, which means Jerry and all the children in our church this morning have a place on the inside of them where there's a longing to experience the presence of God. Jesus said, you know, in the book of John chapter 7 verse 38, on the last day Jesus stood, on the last of the festival, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, because if anyone believes in me, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. If you have your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles over to John chapter 7 verse 37 and 38. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was talking about, Jesus was comparing the Holy Spirit to living waters. And Jeremiah is lamenting about children crying out of thirst. It is not just the physical thirst. It is the thirst that they have to experience the presence of God. You know, and the Bible says in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, not just the adult flesh, children's flesh, you know. And the Bible says your sons and daughters will prophesy. They will see visions. Guess what will happen when children are, you know, being exposed to the presence of God, you know, being rightly given the word of the truth, you know, being taught diligently. What happens? They rise up to become a powerful tool in the hand of the Lord. Become a powerful agent of transformation in our communities. God can use them as a kingdom agent. If only as adults, as parents, we are sincere and diligent in, you know, in valuing them, respecting their place in the body of Christ, and breaking the word of God diligently to them, and allowing them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they will rise up to do great things for God. Do you believe that? If you believed it, you would say amen. Okay, let's give Jerry a hand, and as he goes back to his place. Thank you, Jerry. God bless you. You can go back to your place. Okay, now let's go over to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 17. This chapter has a lot to do with hearing the voice of God. Again, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, we need to have a childlike faith. The Bible says in the book of Revelation over and over again, the Spirit of God is saying, he that hath the ears, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Which means the Spirit of God is constantly in the business of speaking. But who can hear his voice? Those who have the time to sit at his feet and listen to his still small voice. When we read the Bible, the same Bible we read over and over again. But every time we read prayerfully, we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We hear God speaking to our spirit man. And God is speaking continually, constantly, and he is calling the church to listen to him. And I believe, you know, we need to have this experience of becoming like a child when it comes to hearing the voice of God. You know, in the Bible, we know there are incidents where God used children for his glory. Okay, I'm going to ask children a question. Do you know of children who were used by God in the Bible? Can you name a few? Name some people in the Bible, young people who are used by God. Yes. Samuel, very good. Who else? He's shy. Okay. David, good. Who else? You asked me for a children's sermon, so this is how it happens. Who else? Can you think of children? I want you to think and find out who are those that God used in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Yes, Jerry. Who is that? The boy whose name is not even mentioned in the Bible, who gave his 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Very good. Good. Who else? Yes. Isaac. Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Who else? How about that little girl in the, Syrian camp, who was working in the Syrian commander's house as a slave girl, whose name again we don't know, but God used her to bring healing to a great leader, right? The Bible has so many incidents, accounts where God used little children. But all of those moments, they could rise up to do great things for God, I believe, because they were willing to listen to God, willing to listen and obey when God spoke to them. That's the challenge with us. Many times when God would speak to us, we have so much happening in our minds. We are so conditioned by so many things that have already happened. We have all those preconceived ideas and, our own theologies and doctrines that we cease to become simple and humble enough to receive the word of God. But I want you to know that Christian life is nothing more than being led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Romans, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the children of God. There's no other way out. God, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but when I go, I will send the Comforter who will lead you, who will guide you into all the truth. In fact, he will remind you of all that I've ever spoken to you. Not only that, he said, he will show you the things to come. He said, he will take of what is mine and give it to you and glorify me in your life. So without the work of the Holy Spirit, there's no way you and I can ever have any potential to hear the voice of God. Here is a man from the Old Testament. Okay, a man that we all know, Elijah. Okay, Elijah was a mighty prophet that God used to bring back the people of Israel, to his ways. We know from the history of the people of Israel how they kept turning their backs on God. They kept wandering away from the truth. But God would raise up people like Elijah, who were like those cowboys coming along and controlling those wild horses. When the people of Israel would just run away like wild horse, God would use prophets like Elijah to bring them back into order. And here is a place where the prophet is being used by God to bring about a famine, okay, into the whole nation. He's talking to the king Ahab. If you read from verse 1, Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel is, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. A king stepping forward boldly, declaring the word of God. A prophet stepping forward boldly to before the king to declare the word of God clearly, saying, unless I speak again, until I speak again, there's going to be no rain because you guys have gone away from God and God has asked me to give you this word of a famine coming to strike the nation. For 3 years perhaps, it's going to be no rain. It's going to be a dry time for the whole nation. And after that, as soon as he finished speaking, verse number 2 says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan. He had finished giving the word of God that was meant for the king. Now the word of God is coming to the prophet. Okay? And what was the word of God for him? God is saying, get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Very detailed clear-cut instruction. See how God can speak to us sometimes, you know. The prophet had obeyed the word of the voice of God and delivered the word of God to the king. But then the word came to him for his situation. God is saying, you have done your part now, but I want you to now get away and, you know what, go and hide. If you have your Bibles, you know, it's in verse number 3 where God is saying, hide by the brook Cherith. Isn't that amazing? God asking someone to go and hide. Looks like God is not able to protect him. But sometimes, you know, when God begins to speak to us, we must understand by nature, we are never in line with his way of thinking. You know, many times when God speaks to us, it may not make any sense to us. It might be completely illogical. It may not be appealing to our logical brain, to our reasoning. But if we have a childlike faith to listen to the word of God, is God asking me to go and hide? Would my God ever do that? Is he not strong enough to protect me? He didn't question all that. Had he tarried, you know, staying in that same region, maybe Ahab would have killed him. God knew that. You remember what happened to John the Baptist? He was a prophet, right? And he rebuked the king. Who did he rebuke? Herod, right? And what was the reward he got? Got jail. And then finally, they sliced his head and put it on a platter and gave it to him, right? That's what he had. This is what perhaps would have happened to Elijah if he had continued doing what God had not asked him to do. The word of the Lord through him was for the whole nation, and he delivered it promptly. And God said, now it's time for you to get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Verse number 4. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Wow, look at the amazing way God would feed his people. I was talking to Pastor Abby, how God has been guiding them in the last 3 years. Amazing. They came with almost nothing here when they came to study it, but the way God had provided. You know, there's always a blessing when we step out of our comfort zone to do something that's probably way beyond what we think we can do. Sometimes that's how spiritual growth takes place. God would guide us into things that may not fit into our logic, may not be what we think we can do. It could be something way bigger than what our capacities are. But when we do that, God is well able to provide for our needs. You know, there's always a blessing. When we are in the will of God, there is always supernatural, you know, way of God's supply. Here is God saying, I have chosen to feed you in a very strange way. How is he feeding? I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. You know, ravens are only used to so good at taking away food from us. Have you ever seen ravens coming to feed people and God saying, I have commanded ravens? When you talk about commanding someone, it's always one reasoning human being commanding another person who can understand. But here is our God who can command any creature. Amen. And he can speak any language. He can speak the language of an insect. He can speak the language of a king. He can communicate his word to anybody. He can employ anybody for his service. And they are all ready to obey. But the question is, are we ready to obey when God is calling us into deeper walk with him, into doing greater things for him? You know, we don't like changes. We are creatures of habit, right? We are so used to doing the same old things. If you do the same old things, we get the same old results. That's what they say, right? That's one of the definitions of insanity, is to do the same old things and expect different results. It's not going to happen that way. We must be willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is it that God is asking me to do now? It could be something different from what we are used to doing before. That's how growth happens in Christian life. If you want to have a growing Christian faith, Christian walk with God, be willing to change. You know, we are so used to doing the routine stuff. We didn't mean to, but we've all settled in a routine. You know, think about what we do. We get up from the same bed every morning. go to the same bathroom, same soap or whatever, same dining table, same food. Even after coming to the US, we probably still eat the same old idlis and dosa, right? We don't want to give up on sambar and all that, right? And then what else? Take the same car, same route, same parking spot, right? How many of you are used to sitting in the same place in the church? Right? That's what they say. About 70% of people coming to church come looking for the same spot. Because we are creatures of habit. We don't want to change. But if you want to experience growth, we are called to change. And change is something that we do in line with the will of God. When God is speaking to us, we better do it. Because there's always a blessing. Supernatural provision. Supernatural way of God supplying, meeting all our needs will take place when we know that we are in the will of God. You know, this man of God, they say, was by the brook for almost a year. Imagine, and according to his word, what is happening? There is famine, no food all over the country. And King Ahab is now beginning to look for this prophet because he is the troublemaker. I'm going to kill him. But here is the prophet just hiding by the brook, hidden by the hand of God, safely protected. Not only that, at a time when the whole nation is starving, God has a way to feed him faithfully. And how does he do it? Not through a pizza delivery boy, but who is the delivery person here? Raven. Not only once in a day, but morning and evening for almost a year. How do you think ravens would have got food to feed this man of God who was in obedience to the will of God? Children, how do you think ravens would have found food? Sorry. Any clue? I have a clue. I thought this could have happened because ravens are good at what? Stealing food, right? I don't know, it doesn't happen that way here, but if you still remember what happens in India, you can't keep anything out in the open. Just within minutes, it's gone, right? So I believe probably ravens went right into the palace. Amen? Because I'm sure there was food in palace. Enga saapad irukko illaya, enga saapad irukko. Raja vittla kandipa saapad irukko. Fresh meat and, is that all? Bread and meat, right? I don't know how they carried. Maybe they came in as a team and come and dropped it every morning and evening. Imagine that's happening in our life. Let alone happening it for a period of year. If it happened once in lifetime, we would be talking about it for the whole life, right? You're so hungry, there's no money in your wallet, and there, suddenly there's a raven flying into your house with a bag of your favorite food from some, you know, restaurant. And that's a powerful testimony. And we would probably be talking about it for the whole lifetime. But a supernatural thing is happening to this man of God in a very natural way, simply because he chose to obey. There's always a blessing in obeying the voice of God. God might ask us to go to some places sometimes. It may not be very secure, may not be very, you know, safe in human terms. Doesn't matter. If you knew that it was God asking you, you better move away. You know, I better go away because that's where I find God's provision, God's supply of good things. And here we see how almost for a whole year, the man of God was fed faithfully by God. And our God is able to, you know, appoint any creature for his service if only we obeyed. Okay. And verse number 7 says, that's what I want to, you know, talk more about. And it happened here. Happened after a while. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You know, the brook did dry up. As supernatural as the provision that God had for him, it wasn't meant to go on forever. Sometimes, you know, as Christians, we try to camp along with just one thing that we found it to be a real blessing to us. Maybe it was something that God gave us, a blessing from God. Praise God. But maybe there's coming a season when God would remove that blessing from our lives so that he can take us to new levels. But that's when the problem is, As I told you, we don't want changes, right? We don't want to be, we resist being stretched. But if you are stretched, what happens? Like those who are doing workouts every day. Do you do gym? No, right? Okay. What happens when you stretch your muscles? You are tearing some of those cells, right? And as you tear them, and it begins to again grow, right? So without stretching, there's no growth. If you go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 54, beautiful passage, when God is asking a barren to sing loud, that's very cruel. How would you ask a barren person who's never seen children? It's probably very depressed. And look at what God is asking that person to do. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing. See, I told you, many times when God tells us something to do, it may not be very reasonable, may not be, you know, appealing to our human logic. But if we would do it by faith, we would definitely see great results. Because he's saying, though you not labored with child, I want you to sing aloud. You know, break forth into singing. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. He's saying, verse number 2, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand. I don't know who this word is for this morning. God is saying, you will expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations. Who is he talking to? A barren woman who has not had the joy of giving birth. One child, God says, many will be your children. So I want you to look at your children that are coming by faith and sing aloud. Break forth into singing and stretch yourself. Enlarge, lengthen yourself, widen your territory. I'm going to bring in more people. Hallelujah. Do you believe that your church is going to be full of people? But that's going to take people, for some people to, you know, move out of their comfort zone, to do something different from doing what they've been doing for many, many years. Tradition has bound us. You know, let go of those things. There are some good traditions, praise God, but some traditions that can really keep us from experiencing the life that God wants us to have. We can't be a creature of habit in the presence of God, in the house of God. You know, there's a funny story that goes like this. I believe there were two guys who wanted to hunt. So they hired a pilot, a plane, a small plane with the pilot. And they asked the pilot to fly them into a far north jungle in their country and allow them to be dropped there for the whole day, where they can have a hunting, whole day hunting, and then have the pilot come back in the evening and pick them up. So the whole day, they had quite an adventurous time. They had could manage to get about 6 big bucks, okay? They were so very happy. And as arranged in the evening, the plane came with the pilot, you know, flying it and landed where they were. And they started loading all their gears and the 6 big deers that they got. But the pilot looked at the 6 big bucks and he said, there's no way our flight can have all of those 6. You have to let go of 2 because this is so small a flight. It can't take all of your, you know, your hunting stuff. So you must let go of something and we'll be safe. But they began to argue. No, no. Last year also we hired the same size, same model plane. And we got about 6 bucks. And that pilot was very gracious. He let, you know, us load everything. So you better let us do everything. But pilot could not, you know, resist them. So reluctantly he let them board everything, get on board everything. So what happened? He tried lifting the flight up. Okay, the flight started moving through the jungle and it could not lift off. It just ran and just rammed into the woods. And there was a big crash. And these two guys somehow managed to escape. So coming out of the rubble, so rubble's one guy looks at the other and says, hey, இந்த இடம் பார்த்த மாதிரி தெரியுதா உனக்குன்றான். Do you remember this? Recognize this place? And he says, ஆமாம் போன வருஷம் கூட இங்கே தான் நம்ம இடித்தோம் நான். This is the same place where we crashed last time. See, that's what happens. When we do the same things again, we get the same results. But maybe this morning, as we are hearing the word of God, God is asking you to step out of your comfort zone and do something that you are not used to doing. Stretch out your curtains and lengthen the cords, because I'm going to add to your covering, you know, unto your circle of influence. Many will come. I'm going to take you to newer levels. And let's go back to, I'll finish in a few minutes time, go back to Elijah's story here. So the brook dried up. You know, God had him there, but it was just for a season, you know. It was probably a supernatural season for him, but then he wouldn't allow his son to just be there forever. He knew that Elijah would, you know, feel comfortable there for the rest of his lifetime, but that was not God's plan for his life. You know, what happened? The brook dried, but something did not fail. If you go over to verse number 8, you know, then the word of the Lord came to him. I like that. It could be, as you're seated in God's presence, some things that you are so comfortably used to being with feel like it's going away from you and God is taking away from you. Maybe God wants that removed from you. But you know what? Brook might dry, but the word of God will never fail. Amen. Brook getting dried up did not catch God off guard, because God knew brook was going to get dried up at some point. It was him that commanded the ravens to come. But when the brook dried, probably even the ravens stopped coming. Maybe Elijah tried looking for the ravens for a couple of more days, but nothing happened. But one thing faithfully happened. What was it? The word of the Lord came to him. Again, almost a similar command, not the same, like in verse number 2, God is saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I've commanded, who that person now? A widow. Again, an unusual way of providing for a man of God's needs. Look what happens. Now, when we obey and move in the will of God, God provides supernaturally. If you flash forward and see the conditions of widows back in those days, they were very poor. You know, they were very poor people. And if I was in Elijah's place, I would have probably thought, maybe this widow is a billionaire. Maybe, you know, she has a lot of wealth and God is taking me there. But who is this widow? She's ready to die. She's just gathering some sticks, little flour, and then little oil in a jar. And she was ready to fix her last meal and die, ready to die. And that's the place God took him. And you know what? Sidon is the region where Ahab's wife, who was she? Who was Ahab's wife? Jezebel. Jezebel was the root cause of all the problems of the people of Israel. They were into the uttermost form of idolatry because of this lady who had promoted idolatry into the whole nation. And she comes from a region called Sidon. That's where God is asking his son to go and hide. That's probably the most or the least safest place. You know, that's where he can be easily caught. In other words, எங்க கடவுள் போக சொல்றாருன்னா அவனுடைய மாமனார் வீட்டுக்கு போக சொல்றாரு. யாருடைய மாமனார் வீட்டுக்கு? ஆகாபுடைய மாமனார் வீட்டுக்கு. இல்லை, இஃப் யூ லுக் அட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 19, யூ வில் சீ, யூ டோன்ட் ஹாவ் டு கோ தேர், பட் யூ வில் சீ ஹவு கிங் ஏஹப் இஸ் சென்டிங் ஓபேட், ஹிஸ் சர்வன்ட், டு கோ அண்ட் சர்ச் ஃபார் எலைஜா. ஐ வாண்ட் டு கில் திஸ் கை. So Obed says, I have searched all over. There's a point he meets up with Elijah and he's saying, my master has commanded me to look for you in every nation, every region. I've never found you all these days. Where were you? So here is the king scanning through the nation to find Elijah. But where was Elijah hiding? In his mamnar house, right? In his father-in-law's house, and he could be kept safely. I mean, that's the power of, you know, God's protection when we choose to move in his will. Amen. There's no greater blessing. There's no greater form of experiencing God's provision, God's supply of good things, no, than when we choose to walk in his will. There's no greater way of being protected than when we choose to walk in line with God's will. But this morning, there's a challenge. Maybe you've been by the brook, you have seen the supply of God, be it physical or spiritual, but you feel like it's getting dried up. Feel like it's changing. But what do we do? Do we panic? No. That's when we should have our ears tuned to heaven. What is it that my God is saying at a time like this? It was my God who blessed me with this abundant supply of His blessings. But praise God, now it's getting, you know, getting gone, getting taken away. But when God is taking away something from our lives, remember, He's always giving us better things. Amen. He knows how to take us to newer levels. But remember, when you go to new levels, there are going to be new devils for sure. Amen. But even in those places, God will cause us to be victorious. Hallelujah. So if you believe with me, I want you to just close your eyes with me. I want to close right here. There's so much I can talk from this passage, but I don't know how this word has meant to you for your time, for your situation. But I believe God has spoken to some of you very clearly. And He's calling you to deeper walk with Him into newer levels of experiencing His presence, His provision, His protection. Maybe you've been wrestling with God for too long. You've been wondering if it is God or it is just me. You've been hearing the voice of God, but you're not able to obey. But if you know that it is God who is calling you or asking you to do something, you know, maybe it's a new project or a new mission or new work or something to do with your studies, something to do with your marriage, something to do with anything. It could have, I don't know how it applies to you this morning, this afternoon. But I know God has been speaking to some of you very clearly. And you're wondering whether I should make a move. But I want you to know that when you step out in faith, knowing fully well that it is God's voice that you're listening to, that you're paying heed to, that you want to obey, you will be really blessed. You'll be blessed with God's supernatural, you know, supply of all good things and God's supernatural protection. God is there to build us, not to harm us. God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, not to pull you down, but to build you. Anything that God does in our lives is for our good. It may not be good in itself. Sometimes it could be a painful thing. It could be letting go of some things that we love so dearly. But it's okay. If it is God who is pulling it out of your hands, He will bless you with greater things. Just lay that on the altar. Put it on the altar. It could be like a dearest thing like Isaac. But Abraham was willing to lay that on the altar. And what happened? God gave him back to him. That's the kingdom of God. Our kingdom of God is very upside down. If you want to save your life, the Bible is calling us to lose it. You know, if you want to gain, you lose. If you want to go higher, go down. The way to the top is to go down to the bottom level. That's how the kingdom of God teaches us. Those are the kingdom principles. That's why God says we need to become like little children. So it could be anything to do with our church this morning, the way we do our services. Maybe God wants to bring in some changes. How open are we to the word of God, to the voice of God? Are we stuck up with one style, one way of doing things for many years? Maybe it's time we changed. Because through that, many more people can come into the house of God. You know, when the changes happen in line with God's will, it will always, you know, cause and us to expand. God can never pour a new wine into the old wineskin, because the old wineskin will tear, will break. That's why He wants us to be like the new wineskin, which will have the elasticity, which will expand. It's not just availability, it's also being expandable, being stretchable. How expandable are we this morning? Do we have that expandability? Then when God wants to add and increase, bring more people, are we ready to expand or will we break? That's why God wants us to be like that new wineskin, not stuck up with old traditions, but be willing to look into the future. The world around us is changing. We have a new generation that's coming up. An IY generation that is defined by I products. They think differently. They look at things differently. They are so different. If the church needs to be relevant to them, we need to be listening to the voice of God. What are the changes that I can do in my church, in my services, in the way I work, help in the service, help the pastor in the church? How can I be of better help? How can I do things differently? How much are we willing to change this morning? That's how much we can see growth in our church. And I see a lot of people waiting to come into the church. I see people filling this, you know, this congregation, this sanctuary. But that depends on how much we are willing to do the things that God would ask us to do. It could be a radical change, but how prepared are we? It could be something in our personal life. Maybe God has been speaking to you to change, to give up, to adopt a new way of doing things. Maybe we've been resisting. Maybe it's time that we gave in and said, "Yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your will. It's your will that I want to do." And when we make that prayer, like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not mine, but your will, God. I wish this cup would move away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, it's your will. That's the highest form of prayer. There's no greater prayer than that, than submitting to the will of God. Father God, we want to thank you and praise you. We humble ourselves before you. We give ourselves over to you completely. Have your own way in our lives, Lord, and through our lives. Forgive us for the times when we failed to do the things that you had called us to do. But this morning, as a church, as individuals, as families, we want to take a new resolution that we will, from henceforth, move in the direction that you would have for us. We will not, Lord, miss out on the things that you have for us, Lord. We will keep going and going until we see you face to face. Lord, we will move in the direction that you have for us and glorify you and be a blessing to many people, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.